Well, welcome everyone to Pulling on Heaven 24/7. It's who we are and it's what we do. I'm here with Steve Blenn, and we are talking about what we left off on
last week.
And it's go ahead if you want to re-ask the question.
Sure, we were talking about the idea of fruitfulness and the idea of God's pruning, and you've been speaking about that a bit lately, and it's really been ministering to me. And the idea of, you know, obviously based on John 15, and I'm the vine and he is the vine and we are the branches, and about abiding in him and bearing fruit, and that he his Father prunes those that bear fruit. And sometimes what's funny is that pruning doesn't always feel good, but it always produces so much more. And there was something you had said that was really a great revelation to me. And the idea that it's at the moment of pruning where you feel like the most potential of something happening is tends to be maybe where God then prunes. Yeah. And because that's when then it produces actually the most fruit. And I was saying, like, you know, I've looked at my own life and the idea of, you know, when things aren't going the way you want, and I don't even mean bad, I just mean not developing in the way that you've believed, whether prophetically or just thought you should be, you go, okay, well, God's just pruning me. I know I'm on the right track and it's going to develop fruit. But what you said was interesting, because I'd found in my own life, I was sharing that there's certain moments that happen that almost seem like the kickstart of seasons of time that are the fulfillments of very specific prophetic words. Yeah. Like something might begin to happen. And even though it doesn't fulfill, the fact that that little signpost I just passed in and of itself is so miraculous. It takes such a divine confluence of things for that to have happened that you go, okay, here we go. We're now about to happen. And then it doesn't. And then, and for so long, it's just kind of head scratching. And it was really a great revelation to me, because it gave me actually a great comfort that it's not like, okay, because you can, you know, I think it's natural to go, okay, what did I screw up? Was I on the verge of something? Did I mess it up? Yeah. Did something happen that wasn't supposed to happen or anything like that? Yeah. Or it's all like, no, this is that path. And you get to these seasons, these moments, so that God could then, that pruning that then occurs brings out the most amount of fruitfulness, I guess.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a huge question in a lot of people's mind, whether it's a prophetic word, something they've read in the Word and just laid hold on, or something.
Yeah, any kind of promise,
right? They just believe God. And sometimes they feel like it never developed. So let's look at something. What is the point? Let's kind of go back to the root of the thing. What is the point of producing fruit? I mean, what fruit? I mean, what fruit? Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. So then let's step back a little bit. God speaks to Abraham and he says, you're going to have a son. Matter of fact, you're going to have a lot of sons, a lot of children. There'll be so many you won't be able to count them. Okay, it'll be like the sand of the sea or the stars in the heavens. Who can count them all? And here's Abraham going, yeah, all right. You know, yes, God. And the Word says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he waited and waited and waited and waited. And it's like, finally, God, you know, when is the seed going to come? And then he speaks, and Sarah hears it, and she laughs, and it's like, you laughed? And, no, I didn't really laugh. Yeah, actually, you did. And, you know, so what is it? What is all of that? I mean, did it come to pass? Did the guy miss in the prophetic word, or did the prophetess miss, or did you just misread the word, or did you pray for something that shouldn't have happened? And I want to address it from this perspective. Abraham had a son, and his name was Isaac. And then God said to him, take your son, your only son, and go and offer him on the altar to me. So Abraham, you know, what is going on in Abraham's mind? We never read about what he was thinking, and he was a man. So, you know, he had a lot of thoughts going on in his head. And we hear some of those prior. But what we read is the actions of Abraham. And what did Abraham do? He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, okay? We'll say, God gave me a word, and it didn't come to pass yet, or it looked like it was, and it didn't. But what is the heart of that word? What is God saying to us when he says, something, or when he reveals something, mm-hmm. or when we pray for something, we feel moved by God or anointed of God to pray about, and we believe it's going to come pass, and we confess, and we stand there and believe. God said Abraham's faith, not what happened, but his faith, was accounted unto him for righteousness, okay? When we believe God, the work that needs to be done is going to be done first on the inside.
Inside of us.
It is, has to. And this is why. Jesus said, herein is my, this is how my Father is glorified. And that's another, that's a whole different world. It's not just God being glorified somewhere out in the far, far, far away.
Cosmos.
Yeah, but it's God being glorified within us, because yeah. God imparts who he is in his creation, because God is love and love shares, and that's what God does. But Jesus said, herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and that your fruit remains. That remaining word right there is a big, big, big deal, that your fruit remains. You know, way back in the day, the Dust Bowl, I don't know if you've ever,
yeah.
you know, they plowed up all the grass that was out there, and just grass, you know, plowed up all the grass, planted all this wheat, because it was such a huge production, literally throughout the nations. It just produced a lot of wheat, and it was just a big revenue stream, and they started plowing up more and more and more and more, and the government got involved and plowed up, I mean, they plowed up a lot. I don't remember how many acres, but it was a lot, okay? And the wheat grew, and it grew fast, and when the rain came, the water was there, because wheat is pretty dependent on water that's right here, right now. It's not a very deep-rooted plant.
Yeah.
So when drought came, the wheat died. And when the wheat died, there was nothing to cover the soil. And when the wind blew, it got really nasty and got really bad, and it's known as the Dust Bowl. And around that, the depression and all that. And here's the thing. When we get so focused on immediate satisfaction based on what we want to see,
that's a great analogy.
We lose the territory underneath us that keeps the soil where it needs to be, that keeps us rooted, that keeps us ground, that keeps us strong, that keeps us bearing fruit. You know what they did? They went back to the grass, because the grass held in the essence, the nutrients, the soil that they needed in order to survive in the land that they were in. Doesn't matter how much wheat you have, if you can't live in the field, if the ground doesn't maintain itself, if the soil isn't sound. I mean, the dirt was blown all over. Literally,
yeah.
You know, that city, that country, that plot of land was blown all over the place. It was scattered throughout the nations. I mean, it went a long, long ways. New York was affected by it, all over the nation, because the soil wasn't founded on the basis of stable, God-given, this is what the Lord has planted, this is what makes you strong foundation. They plowed up the grass and they planted what would give them immediate gratification and put money in their pockets. And they saw it. They planted it, they plowed it, and they watered it, and they ate from it. And then it was gone because the drought came. When God plants his people, there are times, there are seasons of drought that aren't meant to kill. It's meant to strengthen. So we hear a word and we say, that word didn't come to pass. What word? Abraham believed God, and his faith was accounted unto him. Not what he saw, not when Isaac came, but his faith was accounted unto him for righteousness. It was the faith of Abraham towards a word that he believed without seeing immediate gratification,
yeah.
or seeing it happen when he thought it. He came and he said, God, it's kind of impossible now, because I'm pretty close to 100 years old, and so is Sarah. We're right there, and we're past the season. It's over. It's done. I mean, can we even enjoy our children at 100 years old? You know, we should be great-great-great-grandfather.
Yeah, who wants children?
Right? <Really? laughs> But it wasn't just about the seed. It wasn't yeah. just about the Isaac. Because the word says this seed wasn't many as thought, but it was one, and that seed was Christ. So what was that promise all about that Abraham waited and waited and waited for? It was about the identifying of the Savior to come, that seed which is Christ, which abides in all of us. So that seed of Abraham that he looked to see as, you know, and he did have children, but to see like the sand of the sea, guess who it is? You and I.
Yeah.
We became that seed. Abraham never really saw us as you and I see one another. But his faith was accounted, in other words, his faith touched heaven. His faith in the Word of God is what kept him, strengthened him, and allowed him to be, as the Word says, the father of faith. He literally became the father of nations. He didn't see it all with his eyes. These all died in faith, never, but died in faith is a big word. It's just as important to die in faith as it is to live in faith, because it's all by faith in the Word of God. And if Christ be in you, he abides in his fullness. You're abiding in the fullness of who he is. How do you know you didn't see that word come to pass? Or did you? When you believe God and you trusted God and you saw a little or you saw nothing, that word is still working in you, mm-hmm. because you are standing in faith. It doesn't matter what it's about.
No.
All that matters is that you're standing in the most important state you could possibly stand in. You're keeping the grass on the soil so everything in your life doesn't get blown away. And you're going to bear fruit. And when you do, the soil is still going to be under that plant. There's going to be soil that remains. You're going to continue to grow. The grass is going to hold in that water. And the water is going to hold in the nutrients, the spiritual life, the spiritual fortitude that you need. When we believe God, when we stay to the Word of God, that time, that moment of believing, things are happening. Maybe not what you're looking for,
right?
But what will keep you sound, what will keep you remaining, what will keep you abiding as it did Abraham. And all along that time, so many things are going on in your life, and I know you can testify to that. So many things are taking place in your life that you never even thought about at that point in time. That one thing, maybe that one movie, that one script, that one book, that one whatever it is, hasn't manifested yet, but the life of that book is certainly manifested. The life of that script has certainly manifested. The life of those relationships have certainly manifested, and it's taking place all around us, just like Christ. He's there. The kingdom of God is there, and no one sees it because they're looking for something they want. They're looking for something else, not identifying what the very heartbeat of that word was. And the heartbeat of whatever you're believing is faith in the Word of God. The Word of the Lord is sure. The Word of God is yes and amen. God's doing a work on the inside of you. When the Old Testament, vines were a big deal. I mean, they're still a big deal today, but vines, grapevines. And they didn't just go out and water the plants because water wasn't always that readily available. But they knew how to cultivate a vine. And so what they would do was that they would depend on the rain. They would depend on the strength of the vine to find the water. So when drought came, the vines didn't just die because the roots go deep. If you water vines, and this is so with a lot of plants, if you water vines, if you just throw water on top of them, they rely on the surface rain, on the moisture that's just surface. But a strong vine goes deep in the soil. It goes really deep, and it goes really wide. It's not just a couple, 3-4 inches. It can go several feet into the ground, and it becomes strong, and it finds water, and it becomes stable. It becomes sound. And then when they trim it, when they prune it, if you're a vine, you could say, man, I'm losing part of what I am. Like Abraham, offer your son. But when you prune a vine, it wakes up all the promise in the vine. Everything the vine can be is awakened when you prune the vine. Not only so, but when the vine has to go deep, instead of producing just a ton of big old fat plump grapes, it produces smaller grapes with more nutrients, more flavor. It's like it takes all the character from the earth, not just in that small region, but as far as the roots can go, as deep as the roots can go. All the character of all that soil, feet deep and feet wide, are in that grape. So it's literally drawing from all the blessing of all the nutrients and all the soil, instead of just watering it on, just throwing water on it and producing a bunch of grapes and just selling a bunch of grapes, grape juice or wine or whatever it is they do with them. People that are really interested in the best fruit know that you need the best vine. You need the strongest vine. Instead of just a lot of something, get the quality of what you're looking for. Nurture the vine, nurture the grape. And that's what Christ does in us. He gives us a word that is going to bring to pass. But remember, he said he wills to do exceedingly abundantly and above all we know to ask or think. That word is coming to pass. You just don't see it. That word is bearing fruit. You're just not aware of it. But it's making you strong spiritually. It's making you strong in the heart, in the spirit of your mind, in your heart. It's establishing the root system of your Christianity, of your of your faith, of your knowledge, of your and what happens is you come to a point to where you say, you know what? What's really important is not whether or not I see what I think that word meant, but that I believe that God is doing a work in me right here, right now, today, and that word is coming to pass. Maybe not the way that I see it, but it's coming to pass. That solidifies the word of God in you. That makes you so strong in Christ. It makes you so stable that you're able to walk in the fulfillment of James. Count it all joy when you fall into the different types of the trying of your faith. Knowing that the trying of your faith does work steadfastness, and with that steadfastness, you are complete and entire, lacking nothing. You know, we could get that one thing happen and be lacking a lot of other stuff. You could throw water on that grapevine and it produces grapes fast and big, you know, just the vines are just hanging over heavy with big fat grapes. But the taste isn't there, the flavor isn't there, the quality isn't there, the quantity's there, but it doesn't match the power, the flavor, the identity of what the grape and the soil of the grape really is. When we trust in God, the identity, the flavor, taste and see the Lord is good, that identity of who Christ in is becomes so dense within us that it's obvious that we're walking in the nature, nurturing power of the will of God. That vine is, in essence, Christ. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches and you will bear much fruit. When we're believing all along, we're abiding in the giver of that word. We're abiding in all the fulfillment of that prophecy. It has come to pass and it continues to come to pass.
It seems like it's that you just nailed like the actual formula. I mean, it's like not that God is capricious in enticing us to believe something, but he has to give us something to believe towards so that to have faith towards so the faith can be tried so that it can produce everything that it's meant to.
Because he's after the essence of what's most important.
At some point, whatever we're believing for, yes, it's in him, but it's arbitrary to have our whatever God has made us think is important or we want or anything that a word comes that we resonate, we say, yes, I want that. But again, he could just give it to us anyways without having to believe for it. So the getting it can never be the point. No. And yet we look at it, which then actually makes me really convicted based on something you just said. It's no different than the first century Jewish leaders who missed Jesus.
Exactly.
Because they were given a prophetic word. Boom, and they were so busy looking for it to be fulfilled in the exact, you know, specifics how they expected it to be, that they missed the actual appearance of the fulfillment.
Yeah, exactly. What good can come out of Nazareth? Well, the Son of the Living God.
Yeah.
And they missed it because they're looking for something else. And, you know, any given thing has a lot of character value. It has more than you could imagine. You know, you look at a seed, the simplicity of a seed. There's more character. There's more body. There's more structure. There's more life. There's more density. There's more everything in that little seed. You don't see it. There's no way to see a tomato plant in a tomato seed.
Right.
Or to taste it. You could chew that seed. It's not anything like a tomato, for instance, or a grape. But sow it in the ground, let it die. Just believe that whatever it's supposed to be, the word says God gives it the body. Mm-hmm. And as believers, we become so fixated on having to have things, having to have God do it our way, having God, you know, I'm going to do a wonder in your life. I'm gonna bless your whatever, your business, your church. And we're, okay, God, that means God's gonna bless my church. I'm gonna have tens of thousands of people and people are just going to be flocking to the altar. And you know what? It's like a grapevine. You have tens of thousands of people flocking to the altar, but who really means it? Someone that's really heard the depth of the word of God and isn't just looking for an escape from their problems, but they're looking for the essence of life. So their problems transform into something totally different. They realize that what I'm walking away from is nothing. What I'm walking into is everything. And it's just such a transformation of the mind.
Yeah.
God, the kingdom of God, views everything like a seed. It's always going to be what God said it was. But if you don't sow it, if you don't believe in it, if you don't wait for it, wait patiently. It's not that you're waiting, 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 nothing. No, when that seed goes in the ground, something immediately starts to happen. Metamorphosis, transformation, metamorpho, something begins to happen, and it starts going down and down and down into the earth, and it dies to itself. But the nature of the promise comes alive. It's the same thing in you and same thing in me.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, every believer has something. They're sitting there saying, I've been believing God for this. I've been believing. It's not the this that you should. Go ahead and believe for the
sure,
this.
Yeah.
But when it doesn't happen, that's when the greatest work is being done. Because when it doesn't happen in our minds, it is happening in God's mind. Because that part of the seed that you don't see is the life of the seed. The root is going deep, and it's getting the character, just like the seed gets the character from the earth, all the minerals and the flavor and the nutrients. We're getting the same thing from the kingdom of God. We're getting all the nutrients. Our minds are becoming stronger. We evaluate life differently. We find the real purpose, the real point, the real essence in why we are here, why we believe. I mean, you're believing God for what? You're believing God for a film. If that film comes to pass, happens, is that really going to be the essence of your life? Are you going to hang your hat on that and say, I'm finished, I'm done? No, you're going to look at that and go, when's the next one coming?
Yeah.
So we tell ourselves that really isn't what it was about, even though we want it. What we really want is to see it happen again and again and again and again, because it's the internal, it's the inside, it's our heart, our minds that says that was something of value. And when we realize my faith in the Word of God, regardless of what my eye sees, if the spirit of my faith, my internal eye, as it were, sees it happening, didn't it happen? Which reality is more viable? Which is more real? The spiritual world that we all believe is the eternal world, or the tangible temporal world that we say God's word didn't happen because I didn't see it, I didn't put my hand on it, I didn't look at it. It's coming to pass in so many ways, just like Jesus came as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and so few experience that power. And he said, I have to go so you can actually experience me for who I am, because it's not the external that identifies who I am. It's the eternal of my spirit. And then he said, you will receive power. What power? The power to bear witness that I am Christ within you. That's when the real power happens. And he says, lo, I come quickly. So you have millions of people around the world saying, see, it never happened. He never came. And Christians saying, he's coming, he's coming. He came. He came in the fullness of his power. How he manifests himself from this point forward in a cloud of glory, however and whatever God does in the coming days, you have to accept and believe he came in the fullness. And how he manifests himself from this point forward is not for us to identify and name a time and a date and a place. No man knows a date or the hour. Well, we don't, and yet in essence he said, but yet, when you see the heavens turn red, you know, at night, or you see it turn day, you'll say, well, it's going to be stormy weather. It's going to be a beautiful day. Can't you discern the seasons of the time? Can't we discern God is manifesting in his kingdom within us today? Can't we look and say, you know what? Christ came in the power of the Holy Spirit. He returned quickly in the authority and the power. Why does it have to be everything we imagine it to be? Why do we think that we can identify what he said we can't? He said, no man knows the day nor the hour of what. I don't know the day or the hour today what God's going to do, but I know something really great is going to happen. And all that's important is that I'm believing right here, right now, this is the greatest season of my life. God is doing something. Whether I'm going through one of the most trying times of my life or one of the most exhilarating, exciting seasons, the point is what's happening in the real part of who I am, the spirit of my mind, the place where we all really live. And if we will anchor ourselves in the reality that Christ within me is my hope of glory, and God is doing a new thing, he's doing a great thing, it'll never end, and we'll never see it all happen, but we will continually see it all happening. And that's the most important thing, that we not only bear fruit, but that our fruit remains. And that's Christ within us. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And so much more.
Amen. Amen. What a word. Well, I feel like we just had a church service.
You know, that one simple and yet so profoundly powerful word, have faith in God.
Yeah.
Just believe the word of the Lord is true. And what's the point of faith if you can identify it, if you can explain it, if you can point your finger at it and say, there it is, here it is. Jesus said, don't do that. When you do it, you diminish the reality of its power. You socialize it. You bring it into a governmental perspective. You analogize it in a package. You put it in a box. You put a lid on it. You cap it. You age it. You date it. You give it its expiration date. The Word of God is not like that. It just doesn't expire. The promises of God are yes, and in Him, amen. And as a matter of fact, not only waiting for a prophetic word, but God said, if you will believe a thing and doubt not in your heart, God will bring it to pass. So let's say this. God just touches a man or a woman, a child, someone walks by and drops a word and just says, Steve, I want you to just believe this. And whether you ever identify it for what it really is or not, doesn't really matter. But what's important is if you say, God said it, and the moment that He said it, it came to pass in me. And that's really what it's all about, because it changed my mind. It made me strong. It gave me the roots to be really anchored in my salvation and in who Christ is. And come rain or shine, it's not going to change me. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whether it's raining or whether it's dry, I'll bear fruit in my season, because my roots go deep. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that's Christ. You know, we believe for that immediate, and we live in a world of immediate gratification. And I think it's become even more embossed in our minds that we didn't see it. Yeah, you did. If you believe God, you saw it. You saw it the moment God said it.
Yeah.
And if we live in the Spirit, according to the Word of God, then it happened the minute. That's why we got so excited. We became impregnated with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And we're bearing fruit of what? The faith we believe, not in the thing, but that God spoke a thing, and He wants me to believe that He's going to bring it to pass, maybe in ways, as He said, that exceed my expectations. But nonetheless, it will come to pass. And then in countless, countless, countless ways, let's not forget this, we stand there and see, there it is. And we say, there it is. Happened just like God said.
Just like He said.
Well, it happened like God said way before you saw it happen.
Yeah.
Because what was the essence, what was the most important part, the value of that vine is its root system that's in you. It went deep, it found water, and it stands on the Word of God, and it will remain, that my fruit remains. That's what's important.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Wow, I think we could go on and on and on this one.
Well, remember, I remember when we talked about this, because Jonathan had actually said, "Do we have enough meat on this bone, you know, to carry a whole podcast?"
So yeah, I think we've even gone longer than we talked about going.
So, just the simple faith in the Word of God that we're not here to try and impact the earth. God will do that. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. What we're to do is to influence heaven. Let's get heaven something to look at. Let's give heaven something to view that says, wow, that only happens by the type of faith that comes from the creation God put in the earth. And that's who we are. What an honor. What a joy. Thank you so much, Steve,
for always
being here and giving me the opportunity to just to share and to believe God, to say something that not only you and I need to hear, but those that are viewing. So thank you for joining us. And remember one thing, the kingdom of God is within you, and this is the greatest season of your life. God's doing something that will exceed your imagination and your expectations. God bless. Till next time.